Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. And we're talking here today with members of the American Association of University Women, the Manhattan chapter. I'll go ahead and we've got four different guests, three of them in studio and one joining us via the telephone. We'll start with the co-presidents of AAUW. To my left, Mary Stamey. Good morning.
Good morning.
And to my right, Marlene Verbrugge. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
We also have a couple of other guests. Marianne Corton, and she is a K-State professor of mathematics and a native of Argentina. Glad to have you here.
Good morning.
And then joining us via the telephone, Fanny Feng, who is a partner in the local Asian market from China. Good morning.
Morning.
Glad to have you all with us here. And, of course, the reason we have them in today is there's a big event going on at the Holiday Inn on campus later this evening at 7 o'clock. It's International Women's Day being celebrated, and we'll get into that a little bit more here as the program goes along. But I wanted to start, and Marlene's going to tell us a little bit more about AAUW and kind of their mission.
Thank you. The AAUW is the nation's leading voice promoting equity and education for women and girls. Our mission is actually to advance gender equity for women and girls through research, education, and advocacy. We seek to empower all women and girls.
And as far as the history of the chapter being here in Manhattan, how long have you been here?
Well, this is our 100th anniversary. AAUW was actually founded back in 1891 and has been a catalyst for change ever since. But the Manhattan branch was formed in 1920 and officially became affiliated with the national organization in 1921. So, consequently, our 100th anniversary.
Okay, so big year for you guys then.
It is.
All right, and you do a lot here for, is it primarily K-State students then, as far as the scholarships are concerned?
Well, we have scholarships that are for that we send money to the national organization for graduate students, and then locally we offer 2 to 4 scholarships for non-traditional women seeking higher education. So it might be a single mom who wants to go back to school, or it could be an older woman who just wants to finish her undergraduate degree, someone who needs financial support and isn't currently enrolled but would like to. So there's lots of different scenarios for being able to apply for the scholarships, and they average about $1,500 a year. We also offer a couple of scholarships for middle school girls to attend STEM summer camps, and that's the science, technology, engineering, and math camps that K-State offers.
Okay, so a great organization here, and you provide probably a lot of leadership opportunities for girls.
Yes. Well, we do have, for our membership, we have monthly meetings where we have speakers that offer expertise on a variety of topics. This year, we've had some wonderful programs. One of our own members provided our first program, Amanda Galke, who's an assistant professor of economics, and she's working on a project with researchers in Denmark on health and type 1 diabetes, so that was really an interesting program. We had one on incarcerated women. We had the education coordinator from the Kansas Prairie talk to us one night. Gail Dahl from the Center on Aging at K-State gave us a talk on the happiness curve of aging. And this last month, we had Diane Eckhoff and Aaron Barnhart speak about the women's road to suffrage in Kansas, so another very interesting program. We donate a book for each of the speakers that we have in honor of them, and we donate it to the public library here in Manhattan, and the book covers the same topic as what the speaker's topic was for that month. And then we honor that person by placing a book plate in the book, naming them as the honoree.
So, and the reason why this is so important this month, March, is Women's Month, correct?
Yes, Women's History Month, and we're here today to talk a lot about International Women's Day.
Yeah, and that's going on here tonight, the celebration here in Manhattan, and let's talk a little bit about that. I know, Mary, we talked last year about this program, and you brought some at least one guest with you that time, and what can we expect tonight?
Well, tonight we have four women who hail from Argentina and China and Zimbabwe and South Korea, and they will form a panel, and we'll ask them about the immigration process that their family went through, either as personal individuals or as their parents or grandparents have immigrated to our country. What barriers, what welcoming did they encounter, and what brought them here to begin with? It's very fascinating. I might just throw in this all came about because International Women's Day had been celebrated for quite a while, but it began in Europe, and then four countries wanted to just promote peace, and it started in 1911. I was very surprised to know that it started that far back. But the UN then began made a proclamation and did that in 1977. And since then, various organizations around the country have begun to celebrate International Women's Day after that declaration.
All right, so we've got a great panel, and a couple of these panelists are joining us today. We'll start with Fanny, who joins us on the phone. Fanny Fang, a partner in the local Asian market from China. Fanny, what's your story? How did you come to be here in Manhattan, Kansas?
So I was actually born here in the United States. So my parents, they immigrated from Fuzhou, Fujian. Both have very different stories. My dad, he had to find his way from the south of the United States to New York because at that time most of the people from his village were living in New York City, but the way he entered the country was through, I believe, Louisiana or Alabama. My mom, she had an easier way but still very difficult. She had to travel on a boat. And she was fortunate enough to come to the country with her parents, whereas my dad really was hugs around when he was in the village, and that was it. The only communication at that time was writing letters, and who knew if those letters would make it to the village, because the village, up until, I believe, 2006, the government didn't even know my father's village existed. So there were no roads, you know, it was all tall grass. It was very isolated from the rest of the Fuzhou, Fujian, which is where both my parents are from. And so both of my parents, they embarked on this journey for what we all know as the American dream, you know, really wanting to achieve freedom. And at that time, for the hypothetical children, they made it to New York City. And then they wanted to start their own business. So New York City already being very saturated with a lot of different businesses, they packed up their stuff and just traveled west. Got a map and just traveled west. Didn't know where to go, just get in the car and go. And found their way to Zanesville, Ohio, which is where my brother and I were born. My brother's a year older than me. And that's when my parents launched their entrepreneurial journey by opening the first takeout restaurant. Unfortunately, that restaurant had to be closed because a bigger Chinese restaurant opened, and so my dad had to go back to step one for a little bit. He was selling Oriental gifts at a kiosk in the mall, and then he was like, well, you know, traveling west actually was good, even though the restaurant closed. It was still a good learning experience. So he did the same thing. Packed up his bags, traveled west, and we made it to Salina, Kansas. And he decided to open up a Chinese buffet, learning from his prior mistakes. And so from Salina, Kansas, things were great. And then one day a customer came in and told my father about the property being sold in Manhattan, Kansas. So my father checks it out, but he realized he didn't have enough money. So the story behind that is that my dad went to the owner of the property and said, look, I only have $200,000 in cash, which he actually didn't have. He had to ask family members to get all that. But he said, okay, I have $200,000. If I give you this, I will pay you the rest in 6 months. So that's $400,000. If I don't, you can keep the $200,000 and take your property back. Well, we have been at this property for over 20 years now, and so it all ended up working out. And, you know, I was raised here in Manhattan, Kansas, and so were my siblings. And so we're very, very happy that that gamble worked out, and so happy to call Manhattan, Kansas our home.
All right. Well, that's a great story of the American dream right there, kind of starting going to China and then coming back. I'll bring Marianne Corton here into the conversation a little bit, too. Marianne's a K-State professor of mathematics and a native of Argentina. Tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Well, I came here because I got a job at K-State. I've been here for 20 years. I have a funny story about buying my house because I came from a visiting job in Louisville, Kentucky, and I liked this one house. I really liked it. It has a stained glass window, and that's why I wanted the house. I like color a lot. And I ended up doing the down payment for my house with credit card money, which the person giving me the mortgage knew. We're still friends. The house got paid off nice and in time. First, I went to a shorter mortgage, and now I have a new loan, two new loans because I finished the basement. But yeah, it looks like most of us come with a suitcase, and that's how it starts. I came with my little daughter, who is now a veterinarian in San Diego, and I have three little kids now, they're triplets.